Previously, on adventure, it's time to go stop the black spider and get that first magical item. There is like a mawing abyss that sort of goes straight down. Then across from it at about 200 feet across is another landing with a doorway on it. So which of the three tiles are you going to step out to?
The leftmost one, the one all the way.
Henley, you walk out, and as you do, you hear a snap and you see a giant man-sized boulder falling down.
Does anybody have any water?
I'm gonna whip out the Lil Peen.
A magic beam of blue-white light strikes 40 to a creature within range.
It freezes the Lil Peen urine that is covering these things. It looks very icy. And you're on the other side, and you're in to room two. In front of the throne is a giant bowl filled with water. When the bowl is empty, the path shall be revealed. This is the Draught of Insanity.
Okay, that doesn't sound great. Could you explain it?
It's not good. So basically, if you drink this, you go insane.
Oh,
that's sort of the...
So we, Henry can
the idiot's guide
it
to this. I would say if any of you drink this, you're not going to be able to go forward.
Like permanently insane?
Not permanently, but pretty much for the foreseeable future.
Now, I would say since Henley is mostly damaged, it might actually fix him.
This is true.
But I have a better idea.
What's your idea?
I'm just going to freeze it. Or I could burn it. We could pick a pick. I think I'm going to freeze
it. You're going to burn water.
Try it.
I'm going to boil the water away.
Is to burn. Oh, that is what it's called boiling. All right.
Let's try that first, shall we?
Yeah, so... I've got extra.
Let's see if this stuff is flammable first. Well, actually, Espinosa.
You can just do it. There's nothing you're to hit against.
Okay.
It's just water.
So Espinosa, do you have any idea if we can burn this?
Or should
potion?
I freeze it?
I don't. I mean, you can tell me, Julian. I know that you are more of the magic man here. I would assume that since you tried to spoon it out and it refilled, that there's some sort of spell.
So freezing it might be better. Boiling it will just keep refilling.
Or it's just not going to work.
Let's try.
Try freezing
it.
I'll try
freezing it.
So, Julian, you put your hands out and you freeze the liquid, which you know is now the Draught of Insanity, and it freezes for a moment, and then almost, it's like in front of your eyes, it just goes back to a flowing liquid again.
All right, guys.
So we're talking about seconds there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
How about we take a warhammer to the pillar?
I can try.
Go ahead.
I'll try attacking.
Attack
it. I'm gonna attack the actual bowl. Like,
yeah. No, I go to him. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
With my warhammer.
Okay.
One.
Jackie's no stranger.
Oh no, I
have
to roll d20.
Roll a d20. Yeah, because the damage is not gonna matter.
12.
All right. So you.
Oh, plus what? Five.
So 17. So you get a running swing at this bowl, and as your warhammer goes to strike it, it bounces off some sort of invisible barrier.
Do I do this? Do I go ding?
Yeah. The warhammer vibrates so much it falls out of your hands.
No. Okay. We got to stick to the Looney Tunes. The hammer stays put, and she vibrates.
Yes,
that's
yes.
She vibrates off of the hammer, and the hammer hangs in the air for a few moments. And then falls down. Holds up a little sign that says, help me. And then falls down.
Okay, guys, that really didn't work. And now I don't feel so great. You know what? There's a reason this is the challenge that there is. And one of us is going to have to drink this. There's no point in all of us drinking it.
I'm going to drink it.
Espinosa, are you sure?
This is why I'm here. I'm here to get you through. Whatever you need to get through.
Appreciate your help.
I haven't had help up till now, and he takes
a big sacrifice.
Espinosa, I want you to know before you drink this that I was going to do it, but I don't want to.
I appreciate
Thanks,
that,
Henley.
I guess. Yeah. So he takes a swig of one of his little potions that he's been drinking for a while.
Okay.
And he looks like a lot more calmer. He goes, that's just a little bit of a calming potion right there. Because I'm a little bit nervous about this. And he takes the flask, and he dips it into the water. And he says, I don't know what's going to happen when I drink this. You all might have to hold me in place. You might have to force me to drink this potion. But don't let me stop drinking it, or you're never going to make your way through.
Okay.
He drinks a gulp of it, and he immediately starts to scream. Blood-curdling scream. And he goes to run away from the potion.
Grab him.
Yes.
Back you go.
Strength contest.
Oh, well, I obviously me. I am going to grab Espinosa right now.
I think both of you, both you and Henley are doing it, so both of you can roll.
Okay.
Yeah.
3. Plus my strength modifier.
Mm-hmm.
6.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. It's a 2.
We're going to have to freaking chase Espinosa through this cavern now.
Espinosa breaks free from both of you. The only thing between him and the entrance is Bob.
Julian.
It's Julian.
Roll. Roll if your life depends on it.
4.
Oh, my gosh.
The fuck?
We're all useless.
He does like a little juke move and pushes you over because you rolled a 19.
Right, everyone go get him, quick.
And Lee comes running over. Let's see if Lee can do anything. Versus a, she rolls a 13 to his 9, so she tackles him down to the ground.
Lee, way to go!
Thank goodness, Lee.
And says, I need help. Can you please drag him back?
Yes, we've got him.
And so you drag him back to the bowl. Now he's back to the bowl. He seems to have a little bit more facilities. Takes another giant one. Nothing happens. Takes another giant one. Nothing happens. And you see the liquid start to go down. Ooh, he takes a 4th. Awesome. And then he resists. He has a moment where it seems like it's going to take him again, but he powers through and dips another one in.
Go,
takes another drink.
Chug.
But on the 6th gulp, on the 5th gulp, which leaves just a very little bit left to the bottom, he throws the beaker down on the ground, the flagon down on the ground, and then he just starts rocking and crying on the ground. He's like, I can't do it anymore. Spiders! There are spiders all over my skin!
All right, I'm going to pick up that flask and fill it up.
I'll pinch his nose with the dregs.
Yep. Actually, I'm going to hand you the flask, Hendley. I'm going to hold him down.
I'll pinch his nose.
I'm going to hold him down. Hendley, you're going to pour that stuff in his mouth. Okay.
Gladly.
All right. You go. You take the Henley.
I've given it to Henley. No, Henley, you don't have to drink everything you come across.
A little madness.
A little sip. Never hurt anyone.
All right. So you're filling up the flag and you hand it to Henley.
Yep.
Henley takes a little sip in the corner of his mouth.
His eyes go squirreling around.
And then Thrace, you're gonna what?
I'm going to hold him down. I'm going to hold him down. I'm going to hold his nose, hold his mouth open, okay. And we're going to force feed him this last bit.
All right, roll strength.
I rolled my left hand last time. I'm not doing that anymore. Okay.
13
plus 16.
You got it.
13 plus 3, 13 not plus 13
3,
plus
16. That's what I mean. 16.
That's a really good roll. Just with all of your force and might, because he's got like crazy person strength right now, you hold him down, and Henley, you pour that last gulp into his mouth.
Reminds me of my college days.
And Espinosa, he starts to convulse wildly. His face turns a sickly white, and then green veins sort of pop to his face. His eyes open extremely wide. And then he falls back to the ground, and he's still breathing, but his eyes are unblinking, just staring up.
I'm picturing Bad Moon Rising playing.
Yeah. Right. I remember my first beer.
Nice, Bob.
Thanks.
Espinosa, I am so sorry, but...
Thank you for...
Sorry, not sorry.
All right, so Espinosa is basically out of commission, laying on the ground in a look of complete and utter frozen fear.
Spiders!
And the bowl is empty.
All right. Did anything happen?
The last thing you saw when you skipped through the water was emptying the bowl. Let's say that, because now you're huddled over Espinosa, so you're not looking at the bowl.
Okay. I'm gonna go check the bowl.
Okay.
And look in the bowl.
All right. So you go look at the bowl, and there is a piece of paper at the bottom of the bowl.
I'm gonna pick it up and look at it. Okay. What does it say, guys? I found paper.
Another fortune.
Just leave him alone. He'll be fine. Come over here and look at this paper.
We're coming.
So it says 2 doors, 2 guards. 1 door leads to treasure, the other to doom. 1 of the guards always lies, the other always tells the truth.
I hate these.
You're
guys.
Fucking doing the Doctor Who shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
Is this a Doctor Who thing? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Don't you remember? It's a classic thing, but like this.
The line Blackfoot and the.
Yeah, can you let me finish?
Sure thing.
You have to choose 1 of the doors, and you can only ask 1 question.
All right.
As you read it, you notice that the guards' stone faces come alive and they begin to move.
Okay. I think the solution is you have to ask 1 of them if they're lying.
Yes.
Right?
No, that's not it.
No?
What is it?
What is
then?
It, Hendley? Yeah.
I gotta remember.
If you ask them, are you lying? If the lying one says,
you won't know the answer. Yes. If the lying one says yes,
character voice, Brian.
Sorry. Thank you. I heard this before. I've been around a lot of campfires. We don't got a lot of time. If the lying god says, oh, I'm lying, you won't know if he's telling the truth or not. If the one who tells the truth says, you ask him if I'm lying, he says, I'm not, you won't know if he's the one who's lying or not. I know I didn't do a very good job there.
Are you lying? If they say yes, then the god, the one that's lying, if he says yes, he's telling the truth.
Are you a liar?
Well, no, is this how
to phrase this more properly.
Hear me out. So one god's lying, one god's not a lie, right? We'll always tell the truth, always lie. If I said to the liar, right, are you lying? He would say no, because he's a liar.
While they're talking about this, I'm actually going to go walk over to one of the guards right now.
And smash him in the head.
I'm just going to, like, excuse me. Excuse me.
I would say, excuse me. I'm not dumb.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Thrace.
Wait.
Are you lying?
You only get to ask one question.
Yeah.
And then it's
Thrace.
Over.
I'm asking it.
What you want to do is you want to ask this question. Ask what door the other god would say is the right door. And then you choose the opposite door.
You know what? I hate going with Hendley on stuff, but honestly, I'm strong and I'm quick and I'm not a patient dragon.
Fool.
I'm not a patient dragon.
Excuse me.
Mr. God.
I want to knock her in the mouth and suspend her for a minute so I can go ask the question.
Oh, you can try, Hendley.
That's what rolling a check is.
So Jackie. What are you going to try to? You're going to try to punch her in the face?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, and then to achieve what, though? I just want to know exactly.
To stun her enough so she isn't running over to ask the guard a foolish question.
Okay. So you're basically going to punch her in the face and then just keep running.
Correct.
All right, so roll a d20. She has a very high armor class.
It's a 16. That's all
plus,
you got.
Plus, it's a strength.
Yeah, so I got zero. I have zero? Hold on. Yeah, I have zero for strength.
And it's against my armor class.
Yeah, you missed.
Which is 18.
18. Your hand just bounces off of
Hendley,
her.
Hendley, did you just try and punch me?
I can't tell.
No, I saw a fly. And I just want to make sure it didn't bother you.
I think he was trying to make a point, though, Thrace. We don't want to rush into this question. Could
we
Hendley
need to
have
ask
a good...
Hendley, go ask your question, then.
Let's try.
Oh, thank you.
Worst comes to worst, he gets smitten... or throttled, or crushed, and we move on.
Yes.
We'll know which way to go. Go, Hendley, go. We have faith in you.
Riddles are not my thing.
A god.
Which guard are you asking?
Left one.
Okay.
Is he the one with the H? Who's he?
He's the one with the helm on
his
head.
With the helm, yeah. Yes.
Oi, are you?
Yes?
What door would the other god tell me to go to?
The guard on the left considers you, looks at you for a moment, and points at the door behind the guard on the right.
He points at the door behind the guard that's on the right.
Yes.
Okay. Hey,
now
Thrace,
if he's telling the truth,
Julian, we gotta go on the one on the left.
But if he's telling the truth, why would... Oh, because the other one would tell him that one too.
Right.
All right.
I would like a thank you.
You haven't walked through the door yet.
Right. Yeah, Hendley, let's walk through the door and find out what happens, shall we?
Thank you if we don't die.
Yes.
Julian, thank you.
I'm not.
I may even throw you some extra gold. How's that? I know that motivates you.
Oh, it absolutely does.
I will not hit you in the face with my warhammer.
That works too.
Mm-hmm. I'll that works trade. Too. Here we go.
So the four of you walk through the room into another room, a much smaller room than any room you've been in before.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of that room is an altar. Mm-hmm. And this by altar, I mean actually like
a sacrificial type
looking altar. You've seen an altar like it before when you came across the sea at the end of your previous adventure. Laying on that altar is a dwarf who is sort of moaning to himself. Next to him is a sealed, unopened chest. And standing behind the altar, sort of nonchalantly with his elbow on the altar with his hand underneath his chin, looking at you guys, is a dark elf in a robe.
Oh, boy. Lee. Lee.
And he says, "Friends, welcome!"
Hello, everyone. This is your Dungeon Master, Bobby Shortle, and I'm here to say thank you once again for listening to another episode of Adventure, our Cornhole Caper finale. So we're all wrapped up after this with the story of our first magical item and our battle with the Black Spider, and then we're off to more bigger adventures. So the next episode will actually, next couple episodes will be a little bit interlude. The group is going to be going on a side adventure, and we're also going to level up and treat yourself once again. So hope you're excited for that. Thank you so much to Justin Riley for all his sound effects and sound engineering work. He really takes the podcast to another level, and it wouldn't be the same without him. He's used some tools, including Battle Bards and Tabletop Audio, both amazing resources for sound effects, soundscapes, for either your personal at-home game, or if you're doing something like this, they're equally as great. Please remember to follow us at DND Adventure on Twitter. And please, please, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's the absolute best way you can give us some publicity about the show itself. If you have a few extra dollars, please consider supporting our site's Patreon, patreon.com/talkingcomics. We just revamped it with some new rewards and some new stuff. And while there's no explicit adventure rewards, any money that goes to that helps out every podcast. And there is potential for us to do Patreon exclusive stuff just for those people who are generous enough to support us. Big thank you to my players, Brian, Jackie, and Bob, who really bring it in this episode and in the next couple as well. In the new year, we have a plan to bring you weekly episodes. The every other week episodes will be the big ones, and then in the middle we'll have sort of smaller, more character-driven things that take a little bit less post-production time, but we are thinking of a way to bring you more content in the new year. You can expect the next episode of the show on December 28th, and I think actually the next time we would do a recording session, which you won't hear probably for a month, we'll actually all be in the same room, so I'm pretty excited about that. Once again, follow us at D&D Adventure. Please, please, please leave us a review on iTunes. But thank you once again for listening. It means the world to us, and we'll see you next time.
How are we?
Are you Sacha Baron Cohen from the Madagascar movies?
I don't know. I've never seen the Madagascar movie, so maybe.
Oh boy, what are you doing
I'm
here?
I'm doing pretty bloody well. I just picked the right door.
Thank you, Henley. Let's get back to this.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Oh, who am I? What am I doing here? I'm Carl, the Black Spider. You might know me better as.
Interesting name.
What are you fine travelers doing here?
We want that dwarf.
Why do you want? You don't want this dwarf.
He's important to our quest.
Yes.
Wait.
What are you doing to him?
We do, right?
Yes, Henley, we do.
All right, good.
We promise Lee.
I just want this dwarf to open this box, and then you can take him right along with you.
What's in the box?
Some sort of very, very magical item, I would presume. I think that you've probably heard about what's in the box, or you wouldn't be walking through this door right now.
Can I just run at him with my Warhammer?
You can do whatever you
I'm
want.
I'm going to do it, because I want the initiative on this. I'm gonna try and take a swing at him with my Warhammer.
So you're gonna, if you miss, you smash the box open. So it's a good thing.
Exactly. I'm going to take run at him and take a swing.
So you're running at him right now.
Yeah.
So you're running straight at him. He sees you. He puts his hand up. The whole room goes absolutely black, and you can't see a thing.
Whoa.
And Thrace, you run square into the altar.
Hey.
And it's pitch black. And then around the edge of the room, these lights, torch lights go up, and they're moving into, like, it seems like a position surrounding you. And it says, friends, why do we need to fight?
Because you're hurting our friend.
Oh, come on, friend. Have you ever met him before?
He's important to one of us, and that makes him important to all of us.
And he owes Hendley 10 gold.
That too.
All right. I got a wager for you. Carl. It is Carl, ain't it?
Carl.
Yes, that is my name.
Is that with a K or a C?
Oh, it's been a while.
With a K.
All right. Now, we want to take this bloke back with us. You want to open something, and I'll give a shit about that. But I'll help you do that. I got to rouse him. Now I gotta get him on my side, and I will do that if you beat. Here's my wager: if I can beat you at a game of chance, you let us take him, and we go on our merry way. If I lose, you can murder us all.
Hendley!
That's a very interesting wager, my friend.
My gosh.
Let's, what is the game?
Can I take a side bet on this? If he loses, I will murder him first.
Yeah. Hendley, that is the worst idea you've had, and trust me, you have had some corkers. Yes.
My friends, you are arguing with... I don't have to fight you. You're arguing with each other. What's this game of chance? You still can't see him, by the way. It's still pitch black. It's like you can't see in front of your face. I guess, Henley, you can see a little bit because you have dark vision, I believe.
I do.
As a half-elf. So you can still see the outline of the room.
And he's just talking, right? He's not doing anything nefarious?
No, other than being nearly invisible because of the darkness.
Right.
Yeah. What's this game you want to play, my friend?
I need to figure that out.
Oh, that is great, Henley. You went in there without even a plan.
No, that's great, Brian. Henley has the plan. give me a quick second. I had an idea. I just got to make sure I got it right.
Rock, paper, scissors.
That's hilarious.
Why a game of chance?
All right, no, that's great. That's great. Let's do it.
You know we have to say it out loud, though, because I can't see you.
I know.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of rock, paper, scissors?
Hendley, really? That's your idea?
Oh, it's a delightful game. I would love to play rock, paper, scissors. A game of rock, paper, scissors for your life.
Just his life.
Thrace, keep your Warhammer handy.
Yeah.
I thought the wager was if I win, I get to kill you all. And if you win, you get to take the dwarf.
Correct. Now, okay. I'll always play 2 out of 3.
Well, of course. Who doesn't play 2 out of 3? Only crazy people play a sudden death game of rock, paper, scissors.
Julian backing away quickly.
We're about to do this where we actually say the thing.
Yeah.
So, in front of your face, Henley, like a he conjures mage hand. So there's like a spirit hand that comes out and is like in front of you, just like ready with its fists closed.
All right.
Oh my god.
So, for the sake of the game, I guess we're gonna, I can't see very well, so I think I'm gonna do the motion with my hand, and I can see you a little bit with my dark vision. But we're gonna, for honesty's sake, we're gonna go 1, 2, 3, and then say the thing we put out there.
One, two, three, and then say it?
1, 2, 3, and then say.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Carl.
Yes.
You ready?
I am ready.
Should I do the counting?
Julian, just get ready to run.
No, I'm going to count.
Okay. Go ahead, my friend.
1, 2, 3, rock.
Rock.
Oh, my God.
Did you say rock?
I did.
Yes.
It's like an echo. All right. Oh, it doesn't count. 1, 2, 3, rock.
Paper.
Paper covers rock, don't it?
No, rock it smashes does. Paper.
No.
That's not great.
No, I tried.
Oh, here
no.
we go.
Julian, get ready.
1, 2, 3, rock.
Scissors.
Rock smashes scissors.
Yes. Oh, we're tied.
You twat. And 1, 2, 3, scissors.
Rock.
Oh!
My
What'd
rock.
You say?
I said rock.
Oh, my God. Henley!
My rock crushes your scissors and then equals your death.
Oh, no, Henley!
What a fun game to play.
Wait. But I am going to use some persuasion here to convince him that
he
rock
lost.
Actually loses to scissors.
What a great game. To hear this.
It's a Henley moment.
Okay. I have advantage on this roll, by the way.
Okay. So,
because he has advantage against being charmed in any kind of way.
I got a plus four on this roll, and it was a 13, so a 17.
I rolled a 10, but I got a second roll against it. I rolled an 8, so you convinced him. All right, so Carl's like,
Carl, I understand that you think you might have just won there, but when my rock crushed your scissors. Right, they crushed them, and they were destroyed. But I took out a new pair of scissors, and you took out a new rock. And my new scissors, they were so new, they were able to cut your rock in half. Your rock is no longer a rock. It's two halves of a rock. Scissors actually beats rock. I'm real sorry about that.
Oh, you're that's a tough break. I really thought I had won that one.
Oh, no.
And then the lights start to come back up.
Sorry. Is it possible that Henley is actually a genius?
I have a +2 in intelligence. I just don't show it very well.
But the lights are coming back up. And then, Henley, you don't see anyone in front of you, but you hear from behind you. Oh, well, I was going to kill you guys anyway, so here we go. 16 against your armor class.
It's not very sporting.
16 against your armor class, Henley.
That sounds shitty. Let's see what I have. It's a 12.
All right, so I got you on that, so I got one. He's hitting you with his staff, his spider staff. He does 1 damage, but he does 3 poisoning damage against you, so you have 4 total.
Okay. And we are in combat?
We're in combat now. Let's roll for initiative.
18.
14.
18.
Okay.
6. Okay. The lights have come back up. We're good now? And first in the order is Henley. Henley, you have a chance to retaliate.
All right, so D20 for attack.
Yes, what are you going to attack with, by the way?
My daggers.
Okay.
I'll call them back. Oh, shit. No, it's all the way to the other side of the basement. Hold, oh, shit. Okay, here we go. It's an 8.
Okay, that does not hit.
Which is so close to a 20.
You miss with your daggers, and next in the order is Thrace.
Okay.
All right. So, you have you're right by the altar, right next to where Gundren is laying, and when the lights went back up, Lee saw Gundren for the first time and ran over to him and starts like tending to him.
Okay.
So she's sort of out of commission for this battle. That's where you are. Henley is closer to the entranceway, where that's where also the black spider is.
Okay.
And Bob, you are kind of just flanked to the left off of him. It's not a very big chamber, so you're not that far away.
Okay. I'm gonna. Now, I have the one that, the Inferno Bomb, but I can't figure out how much damage it actually does. I kind of, attach it.
It attaches to your Warhammer.
Right.
So I think it gives you 1d4 fire damage.
Oh, okay.
Extra.
That's what it is.
So you attack regular, and then you roll a d4 on top of it.
All right. So I'm going to, go, hard straight away.
Okay.
I'm going to use my action surge.
Okay.
So that I can initially, I'm going to attach my Inferno Bomb.
All right. So you light your Warhammer ablaze.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to charge and try to attack.
And then I'm going to attack with
it. Okay. Go right ahead. So roll a d20.
20.
That's a critical. That's definitely an awesome one. All right, so do your regular Warhammer attack.
1d8 plus 3 and plus 5, right?
Is so you're going to roll it twice, though, because you criticaled. Okay.
Oh, sweet. So 1d8 plus 3. 1.
1, so that's 4. Roll again.
7.
7.
Plus
3. It's 10. So it's 14, plus roll a d4.
Oof.
I'm going to take it out.
18. Oof. So you...
I'm going to wail on his face right now in my flaming warhammer.
You reach back with this giant flaming warhammer, and you sling it right into his chest. Goes flying back and hits the wall, and he looks very, very worse for wear. Wait, it's 18 total damage, right?
Yeah.
On that one? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Fuck him up!
Boom!
And we are around to Barb.
I am more a spell guy than a.
Oh wait, sorry, it's
guy?
Not. Sorry, no, no, I'm sorry. No, 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 I'm sorry. Carl is up before you are.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I forgot. That was my mistake.
Too bad.
Yeah. So Carl is going to try to use
with a K.
Okay. Is going to try to use suggestion on Julian. So basically with suggestion, the target must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, it pursues the course of action I described to the best of its ability. The suggested course of action can continue for the entire duration. If the suggested activity can be completed in a shorter time, the spell ends when the subject finishes what it was asked to do. I can specify conditions that will trigger a special activity during the duration. For example, I could suggest that a knight, you know, that's when something happens, something else happens. But basically, but I have to convince you in sort of a convincing way. I have to say something to you.
So where am I at here? I have a wisdom.
So wisdom saving throw, but basically what you have to do is the wisdom, I have a number here that you have to beat, which is you have to roll better than the 13 in order for you to
make
it.
Why would you tell him?
Basically what he... Because it doesn't... What
doesn't
he
matter.
He can't...
Change the dice roll.
He can't change the dice roll.
Yeah, but that's part of the thing is that you know shit that we don't.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean,
so
whatever.
So I rolled a 20.
Not yet, though. Don't roll yet. I didn't do my thing yet, all right?
He has not convinced you.
I've not suggested to you yet. And you hear this voice in your ear, Bob, and it says, "My friend, you need to stop this dragonborn. All she wants is the power within that thing." You can't hear this happening. All she wants is the power. She wants to take it and use it and help get back in the good graces with her family. She's just going to take it away and use it. You need to stop her. You need to stop her. So roll a wisdom saving throw. Yep.
12.
12 plus what's your wisdom?
2.
2. 14. You just...
Thank God.
So you were able to resist the voice.
Knock it off, Carl. All right, I see what you're trying to do.
Can't blame a guy for trying.
I get that. I get it.
I'm picturing Carl like Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Yes.
You were this close.
I was good, right? I was pretty close.
You were good.
I was pretty close. I was pretty
good.
But
now...
All right, go ahead.
Thunderwave.
Yeah, all right.
Which is a wave of thunderous force sweeps out within blah, blah, blah. On a failed save, a creature takes 2d8 thunder damage and is pushed 10 feet from you. On a successful, the creature takes half.
What kind of saving throw? Sorry.
A constitution saving throw.
Constitution. Okay. I don't have a plus anything. So it's going to be 13 because you have a plus 5, I think, on spell. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So 1.
Oh!
The critical miss. So go ahead, roll it up.
2d8.
Yep.
I'll find that one. That's got an 8 on it.
A lot of them have 8s on them. Just make sure there's no 9.
2 and 6.
Whoa! 2d8 thunder damage. You put your hands together and create this kind of ball of energy and throw it out, and it hits Carl. And again sends him flying back against that wall to thrace him against. But this time, he falls to the ground, and he's prone. And he is very, very worse. But it doesn't look like he has much left in the tank at all.
Woo, Julian!
But
yeah!
Not yet dead. And it's time for Thrace.
Wait, why not me?
Because you went second, didn't you? Oh, no, you went first. Oh, you were first. Henley. I'm sorry. Henley. Henley, you're up. Sorry.
I want to take my
finish
rapier.
Finish him off, Henley.
Rapier is what I'm going to use here if I hit.
All right. Okay.
I dropped it again. Jesus Christ. Critical 20.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, that's definitely a hit. So roll your damage die twice.
1d8 plus 2. 8. That means it's a 10. I want to slit this motherfucker's throat if I can.
You do better than slit his throat, Henley. You take your sword back and you just cut his head clean off his body. As he passes away, you hear all here in your heads, I thought we were friends. And he drops his wizard staff next to him.
I gotta put the spectacles on.
That'll teach you to welch. Got sour grapes.
Oh, Henley, I was just about to compliment you, and now I just can't.
Yeah, so now we're all in a jam.
Oh!
Burr, 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 burr. Very sticky situation previously. Right, punning on. Let's go.
Oh, all right, so Carl is dead.
Yeah.
Gundren. Lee is tending to Gundren, who looks very, very worse for the wear. What do you guys want to do?
Can I give him a healing potion?
I was just thinking
absolutely
that.
Can.
All right. I think I have... Yeah, I still have one. Okay. So I'm going to give him a healing potion.
I'll give
him
a handy if that'll help.
I think that'll be okay. My brother doesn't need one.
Especially not in front of everyone else. That would be great.
A man wants what a man wants.
And this half rogue, half elf wants a dwarf. All right. Goodness. I'm going to give him a healing potion.
All right. Yeah. Give him a healing potion. And, or a wet nap. I think it's 1d6 I think he gets back. So just roll a d6.
One.
Okay, one. But one is enough to take him out of zero and up back into at least being conscious and able to move. And he gets up, and I do not remember. I did Gundren one time at the end of the Julian meets Henley episode.
Just make it happen.
Make it like gruff and
go Swedish.
Gimli.
I'm trying to do Gimli.
But he is and very sick. He's very sick. So he could be anything you need.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Thank you for saving me.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah, it's a good one.
Thanks.
Thank you for liking my voice. You guys came a long way for 10 gold pieces.
It's the right thing to do.
And you can see we brought...
It's not 1,000.
Henley, we brought your sister to you.
Worth a try.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
She is a lovely young dwarf. Now, Gundren, what can you tell us about this cave and what's in that box?
What's in that box is some sort of treasure that my people found long ago. I don't know what's inside of it. No one for thousands of years has opened it.
Can you open it?
If I were to listen, that drow elf really wanted me to touch it, and I refused. Not that thing. Get your mind out of the gutter, Dragonborn.
He really wanted me to touch it, and I refused. That's great. We clearly saved you from a sexual assault as well.
He also wanted me to open the box. Hey-o!
Join right in.
I do want Justin to put some Brad Pitt in here.
What?
What's in the box?
All right, we're getting a little off track here. Yeah, carry on.
Did Gizmodo send you here?
Yes. Yeah. We had his help, and we had help from other people. Oh, shit.
What?
We left Espinosa in the last room, not happy.
he's trailing behind us. Okay, I see him now. He's coming.
All right.
He's definitely not. He's definitely got petrified.
Exactly. Let's just make sure we remember to pick him up on the way out, okay? Phew, it's like leaving your car keys on the door.
We might need to check him into a loony bin, though. I mean, we don't know.
Does Gizmodo want what's in this box?
I don't think he really said. But
we might.
Probably.
Yeah. Why don't we open it and see what's inside the box
first?
That's
the best way to know what's happening.
So are you Gungeon? Are you really Gungeon?
Yes, who else would I be?
Well, you'd be surprised.
I would just say, we've had some adventures, us three.
Yeah.
And the amount of times we've had to be like, oh, that bloke's not the bloke. We thought it was the bloke.
Yeah.
It's happened a bunch, and I just don't want to have that happen again.
I can assure you, this is Gundren.
Okay. Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times, four times, five times. Not again.
That would be a really lazy plot development if it once again the person you thought it was going to be was not the person it was. That would be a bad move.
Saves us on our Arcana challenge.
Yes.
So
I love that you do that in character.
Yeah. Gundren reaches out his hand and touches the chest. And
not lazy.
Oh yeah.
No. Oh. And the latches spring open.
Is there the Zelda music? Justin, please put the Zelda music in.
And then
editorial choice.
And then the lid slowly opens up. It's pretty deep, so you have to walk over to it in order to see.
Okay, let's go. I can't wait to see what's in there. I'm looking in it right now.
So when you look down inside of it, there's only one thing in the chest, and it is a flat silver disc. Made of a material that you, Thrace, you have never seen before, with a small hole in the middle of the disc, and the outside seems to like shine a little bit.
I'm gonna pick it up.
Okay,
I picked it up.
So you pick it up, and it's extremely light. It weighs basically nothing.
Wow.
And there's something scrawled on it in writing you cannot read.
Okay.
But kind of hastily scrawled.
Henley, Julian, can you read this?
I can't make it out.
Henley cannot read it.
Julian can read it.
Perception check, is this?
Julian
can
read it.
Julian?
What, shall I?
If you want, yeah.
Yeah, so I walk
it
over
says,
to this.
And I'm going to tell him what it says, and he doesn't... you'll all hear it, but technically he doesn't have to tell you, so you won't necessarily know what it says.
Oh, okay. Julian, what does it say?
It says, listen.
That's it?
You don't know you don't know. He has to tell you.
All it says.
That's Jackie Turner saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
It only says one thing. Listen.
Are you sure, Julian?
Would I lie to you? Don't answer that.
It's been...
It says listen.
Listen to what?
I don't know how we do that.
Can I listen to this thing? Does it make a noise?
I mean, if we rattle it.
Yeah, I'm going to put it up to my ear. Can I hear anything?
It's like a seashell,
nope,
perhaps.
You can't hear anything.
Hold on, maybe.
Perhaps,
hold on.
Perhaps it needs to have a device that we can make it sing to us.
Is it you think it might be pointing to the second single from Collective Soul's Discipline Breakdown album?
You're absolutely right. What did he say?
This must be one of the treasures from another world that but my ancestors always spoke of. I don't know what it is.
Can I do an investigation check to see if I can make out anything else?
Yeah, sure.
14.
All right, you look at the small disc, and right around where the little hole is, there is other kind of very, very small writing around that. Other than that, it's very flimsy in your hands, is all you can tell. You can probably snap it in half very, very, very easily.
All right, I'm going to hand it back to Julian.
Okay.
Because I'm a little klutzy.
All right.
What do we do with it?
I don't think it's magic.
Where do we take it? What do we do with it?
I think we need to take it with us.
Okay.
To our next adventure, because I have a feeling the answers are further on.
If Carl,
when am I getting my bloody gold?
If Carl was looking for this thing, it's important, clearly. So let's keep a hold of it.
Because he may not have known what it was actually worth.
Right.
Remember, Carl. Remember that time I chopped his head clean off?
Yeah. Yes, yes. You can't do it like a throwback to something that happened 30 seconds ago, Henley.
I'm enjoying the moment.
So you guys are standing there, and all of a sudden you feel the wall start to
uh-oh,
rumble.
Uh-oh.
And then all in the far back of the cavern, the wall blows out and away. And it's very smoky, and you see a figure walking through the smoke. And when he walks out of the smoke, it's Lucas. And he says, hey, guys,
I made us an exit.
Yay!
Awesome. I knew that bugger would come through.
Oh, yeah. But let's not forget Espinosa on the way out, right?
Who?
Oh, Hendley.
Guys, is there anything that you want to pick up or anything? Anything that's in this? Because once we leave, I don't think we're coming back.
There's nothing in the chest.
No. I'm going to go over and investigate Carl's corpse, his headless corpse.
Good move.
All right. 14.
All right, so you go over to Carl and you pat him down.
Yeah.
Dibs on pockets.
you find in his pocket a coin with that 3-pronged symbol on it. You find a note that says the information has been planted in Spire, which is signed Henrique.
Yeah.
And next to him is his wizard staff. That's the only thing that's there.
Okay, can I take the wizard staff? Yeah, Julian, would you like this wizard staff?
Yes, I might have some use for this. Why don't you take forward?
All right, Julian's going to take that wizard staff.
All right, Julian, you took the spider staff, just so you know. It's got a +1 attack bonus. It does 1d6 bludgeoning damage and also does 1d6 poison damage. So you'd roll 2d6s.
Sweet. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to take Carl's head.
Nice, I like it.
And what are you going to do?
No, I think for future intimidation,
just
help,
cut an ear.
Depending
just
on who we run into.
Well, just cut an ear off.
I like that plan. That's a good plan.
You don't have to
put it on your belt.
Exactly. The head is heavy.
Guys, I don't have a bag.
Right.
But I'm going to take Carl's head. I want people to know that we're fearsome, and I just don't want.
Hendley, that thing has to be 10 pounds. Can't you just take his ear?
It could be anyone's ear.
He has a point.
He has a point.
You know what? If you're going to carry it, Hendley, then you knock yourself out.
Maybe you can use the scraps from that shirt he tied to
and
your
then
leg.
Hendley picks up Carl's head and starts opening and closing his mouth and saying, "Om thrice, I think this is a bad idea."
Hendley, you're such a dick.
I love it.
I think I'd like to sort of sweep the room with an arcana check to see if there's not some sort of magical something or other sitting
go
around.
And check. Roll your d20.
I lost
it. It's right there. Yeah.
Six.
You don't sense any magical items in the room. In fact, you kind of cleaned out what's in this room. It was very empty. That chest was like the center point of this entire cavern.
Okay.
So do you want to grab Espinosa and then book it
over? Yes, we're going to grab Espinosa, ankle.
Head for
and,
Lucas's.
Grab an ankle, grab a wrist, and we're going to head for Lucas's exit.
Okay, so grab Espinosa, you go out and you run through the exit, out into the fresh air. As soon as you go outside, though, Lee collapses again. Her eyes white, and she says, "Listen with the witch-a-woman."